Let's just pray before we read God's word. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its entirety. Lord, it's been a privilege to study through the book of Matthew and hear the words that your son said whilst on earth. Lord, many are a challenge to us. Many convict us and many, I hope, change us. Lord, I pray as we read through this passage of Christ's words, rebuking the leaders, the spiritual leaders, rebuking the crowds for their obsession with their appearance. Lord, I pray that we will be challenged by it, encouraged by it, and changed by it. Lord, may you open our hearts to your word. May we approach it willing to be changed rather than desiring to change the word. Lord, I ask it in your name. Amen. Let's read the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 23. Entitled in my Bible, Seven Woes to the Scribes and Pharisees. We're not actually going to grammar. My nana would tell me off. We're not going to get to the seven woes yet today. This is more of an introduction. We read, "Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. They make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. You are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. They call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted." As I was reading through this week and preparing, part of the application and understanding of this reading I found challenging as one who could so easily be in a position of scribes and Pharisees, one who gives religious instruction to people. And I felt that this passage was definitely speaking to me and challenging me, but it also challenges us all on our understanding, our view of who we see as spiritual leaders, speakers. The scribes and Pharisees were in a position similar to today's pastors, ministers, elders, preachers, whatever you may take. There's slightly different roles and responsibilities there, but the modern application for this must surely be looking at those that we see as spiritual leaders. I think the big question we see is, where do we get our understanding? Where do we get our example? Where do we get our instruction? Is it from those leaders, or is it from the word? Is it from those who bring the word, or the word itself, God's word? What is more accurate and undeniable? Is it the preachers and teachers, or is it the word of God? And I hope that everyone sitting here today understands that the answer to those questions has to be the word of God. But we still have to deal with humans who present God's word, who unpack it and explain it, and can so easily use it wrongly. Leaders who can be an example for others to emulate, and sadly that example can sometimes be wrong. I wrote down a question in bold, which uses a language that I haven't really heard that much before, but what are the red flags? What are the warning signs for Christian, even though this wasn't set in Christian times, you know where I'm going, a Christian leader? And if we were to dwell on some of those today, they would probably appear in this passage. Warnings against the example of the teachers. This morning we were thinking about those attempts to minimize Jesus' authority. And now Jesus seems to go onto the offensive about those leaders who sought to bring him down. And it seems, if you were reading this and missed out verse 1, that Jesus was speaking directly to the Pharisees, particularly as we get on to the woe to you scribes and Pharisees bit. But actually Jesus is bringing this passage to the crowd. This is to be listened to by everyone. This is a warning against following ways that are not scriptural, are not biblical. Jesus is telling the crowds to be careful with their leaders, to qualify everything with scripture, to listen to their teaching, yes, but make sure that that teaching aligns with God's teaching. Look to God's word rather than just their example. Hold God's word above all else. I'd love to be able to say that these ideas don't apply today. I'd love to be able to stand here and say there is no one in the world who claims to be a Christian leader who acts like the scribes and Pharisees. But sadly, that's not true. There are those, as we read of in Matthew 7, as Paul warns of, who seek to do things for their own gain, who use God's word for their profit. As I look in the mirror, I honestly would hope that I'm not adding to scripture like the scribes, trying to make myself look good like the Pharisees. But there are human temptations to appear in a certain way. I don't know that many of my local contemporaries, I love meeting with fraternal groups, and I look at them and I think, what wonderful men who seek to serve God wholeheartedly. But we cannot ignore such passages as this. Jesus warns about false teachers. Paul warns about false teachers. Too much for us to ignore. And many of the issues of the biblical days are around today. People tend to glorify people. People look up to people to emulate. People, if they're honest, like being glorified, like being lifted up. But Jesus warns his people to look at the word of God over everything else. So we see three broad themes: word over actions, word over appearance, and word over title in this introduction from the Lord. Verse 2 says, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice." This is an interesting view because we know that the scribes and Pharisees sometimes taught things that weren't helpful. But Jesus is saying, he says they sit on Moses' seat. Now, some archaeologists think they found a chair that Moses sat upon. But I think this is more metaphorical language, that the scribes and the Pharisees sit upon Moses' authority. They seek to unpack the words that Moses taught, the law that God gave him. And Jesus is saying, when they are doing that, when they are speaking from the authority of God's word that was given to Moses, then you should listen to it. You shouldn't ignore them wholeheartedly. But Jesus says, look at the words over the actions. Be careful. For they are not doing it. Don't look at how the Pharisees and the scribes are living. Look at the word they are teaching. If it's using Moses' authority, then go. Brilliant. But be careful. There is an argument that what Jesus was saying was using a sense of irony here. And I'm not entirely sure that I can back that up, that when he said, do and observe whatever they tell you, he was being ironic or sarcastic. And some commentaries went into quite a bit of detail to try and unpack that. But what I really think Jesus is saying here is, when those scribes and Pharisees are directly representing the word of God as given to Moses, using the authority that God gave to him when he gave the law, then those words are worth listening to. Brilliant. Scriptural argument, scriptural teaching is a wonderful thing to pay heed to. But don't look at the example that the Pharisees set. Don't look at the example the scribes set. Occasionally they may teach what Moses taught, but so often they're adding extra things and they don't even follow what they're taught. They don't even follow what they teach. Verse 3 said, "Do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. They preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger." The Pharisees were happy to teach commands that they saw as scriptural, but they weren't happy to do it. Does that apply to today's preachers, teachers, pastors? Surely it does. Many pastors, every Sunday, preach God's word, seek to be faithful to his word. But we are all sinful by nature, and there will be times in life where we make mistakes. Don't emulate the actions of Christian teachers if they can't be backed up by the word of God. Look to the word first. Look to God's word in all that we do. We have a habit of as human beings of emulating other people. I remember when I went to View Universities, I went to the, I think it was in Surrey, and I was going to do a physics course, and they gave, I don't know what it was, a ball, and he said, "What do you think it is?" And for some reason, I wanted to see if it was static, and I was wearing a nylon football shirt, so I rubbed it on my shirt, and then every other person did, and the man was like, "What are you doing? Why on earth are you all doing the same?" But it's because quite often we look to other people and emulate their actions. But Jesus is warning us not to just blindly copy others, but to look to God's word. Jesus was warning the crowds to look to the teaching. So we see that we should look to God's word over the actions of our leaders, our Christian leaders. But we also see that we should look to the word of God over appearance. Righteous living, adherence to God's word is far more important than appearance. And again, there's such a human nature to look to people's appearance, to try and emulate people's appearance. It's how fashions and trends start. The Pharisees appeared to be good. They honed their appearance to be one of righteousness. Jesus says quite clearly, they do all their deeds to be seen by others. They did good things, which are good things, and it's good to live righteously. But as we thought this morning, those acts should be born out of love for God rather than to be seen by others. Jesus' example is that they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. I've not used the word phylacteries much this week or in my life. They were small boxes with scripture in that they would wear in, I think, on their foreheads as a sign of obeying Moses' command, or God's command through Moses in Deuteronomy, that says, "Lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. You shall bind them on a sign, as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes." And they took that to be put bits of scripture in boxes and put them on your hands and your forehead to show that God's word is everything to you. Now, what Moses was actually saying is that God's word should be visible through your obedience to it. You don't need a box on your forehead. It should be obvious to people looking to you that you are following God's word. The Pharisees were making these boxes bigger and bigger to look holy. The tassels were a thing on a garment to remind the people to obey God's commands. And they were making their tassels longer and longer. Not because they were obeying God's commands. Not because they were seeking to particularly be holy. They didn't think a bigger tassel made them more holy, but it made them look better. It made them look better than the crowds. The only example I could think of was if I were to walk around with this Bible in my hand rather than this Bible in my hand. Not that I have a problem with large print Bibles, but if I was doing it so that everyone saw the Bible I had, now upside down, everyone saw the Bible that I had, it doesn't make me different. It doesn't mean that I actually read it. It just looks better. And that's to be avoided. That's to be avoided by us. The things we do should be born out of love for God rather than appearance. But it's a definite thing against the Pharisees, the scribes. Jesus goes on to say, they love the place of honor at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace. They love being called rabbi by others. Jesus was criticizing these spiritual leaders for their adoration of popularity, their adoration of being noticed, which probably is the opposite of how they should have been. Jesus is teaching of the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Jesus warning his disciples that they'll be despised and hated. And I suppose that Jesus is teaching us to be wary of religious leaders, Christian teachers, who purposely seek popularity, who care about their appearance and how they seem far more than God's word, who won't spend time with outsiders for fear of being judged. And we can look to the parable of the Good Samaritan for another example of such teaching. I don't mean beware of popular teachers. Some Christian teachers who have podcast audiences of hundreds of thousands are wonderful. But we should be wary of those who care more about their popularity and their appearance than they do the word of God. Because as soon as their appearance diminishes or their popularity wanes, the temptation will be for their diligent honesty to the word of God to also fall. Jesus teaches us to be wary of copying people if we don't look to the word, to be wary of being excited over appearance if we don't look to the word. And finally, Jesus teaches us to be wary of those who seek title rather than honestly follow the word of God. Word over title. Verse 8. You are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. And these are quite hard words to unpack, because later on in Scripture we're told of positions of elder and deacon and so on and so on. So titles aren't inherently a bad thing. We're told that he who desires, I should have written the verse down, he who desires the position of elder aspires to a good thing. In the context of what Jesus is saying, and in the context of the woes that he goes on to pronounce, I think that Jesus is saying, be wary of those who seek title rather than honesty to God's word. Be wary of those who want and to make a name for themselves rather than making a name for God. Be wary of those who seek titles more than Christ. For those that point to their position more than the word of God. The Bible still uses titles, elders, deacons, overseers, and so on and so on. But we, as believers, should look to Christ more than the title of our leaders, more than the position of our leaders. Yes, we've been given people in authority. We've been given people to look to. But Christ should come first. We shouldn't be so scared of our leaders to never be able to question them. We shouldn't be so worried about their title that we can't ask them or challenge them. I beg you, if I say something wrong, speak to me, challenge me. Just because someone has a title doesn't mean they deserve the greatest honor. That honor goes to Christ. Very careful, because I'm not trying to say don't have any respect for anyone, but Christ should be greatest. Verse 11 points us to this idea as well in human instruction. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Those who want to be great should act as a servant. should be humble and serve others. Those who serve, with, as Christ says, are the greatest. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Whoever tries to lift himself up, they will be humiliated. Whoever is humble and looks to Christ first, they will be exalted. How do we apply this to our lives? How can it change us? First of all, I think the warning, do not succumb to the temptation to lift yourselves up. Don't try and exalt yourselves. I speak that to myself. Don't let me do it either. Don't let me try and use the title of pastor to lord it over everyone. That's not what the title means. We're to be wary of false teaching. We should seek to qualify everything with God's word. And if we look at people who claim to be teachers of God's word and their actions don't tie up with it, beware. If they are seeking to make an appearance rather than stick honestly to humbly teaching God's word, beware. Because teaching should always be centered around God's word. Good deeds, righteous living should be done to glorify God, not to make a name for ourselves. And finally, we should seek to be careful who we listen to, where we get our spiritual instruction from. We live in a time where it's so easy to be taught by all sorts of Christian teachers. We live in a time where our podcast app will show us the most popular preachers, the most famous speakers, and yet sometimes they are not the ones to follow because they are in that position because they have sought to make a name for themselves. It may be through false teaching. It may be through false appearances. I would urge Christians to listen to teaching other than just mine. But I would urge us all to be careful where we get that teaching from. Seek it not from the equivalents of the scribes and Pharisees, and qualify everything with God's word. God's word should come before anything else. And with that, I draw to a close.